Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy,
And to God we give all of the glory, the honor, and the praise. For the word of God says, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. We would like to thank God for all our listeners there on today. We want to let you know that we are professional Christian counselors. We are specializing in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect. Today, our topic will be the Bible and finance counseling. We're going to be touching on the effects of financial problems as well as preventing financial problems. And then we're going to bring it to a conclusion about the same. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Come on and go with us. And yes, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you to God for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. Great and mighty things, God, that you are about to do. We thank you, God, for how you bless, how above measure, Father, how you have met many needs, Lord God. Thank you for being a healer. Thank you for being a deliverer. Thank you for being a mind fixer and a heart regulator. God, we thank you, God, for our radio audience. Lord, we ask you, God, to ever, forever bless them, forever keep them. God, even during this broadcast, cause souls to be saved, lives to be changed. Lord, through this broadcast, give them the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, God, that they need. And today, Lord, we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroad broadcast. Yes, we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Today, we are excited about what God is about to do. It's always good when we can be educated, when we can be more informed, when we can have a sense of direction as to what we need to do. Everybody needs direction. But you know, the word of God says, in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And that means in our finance as well. So we want you to get that paper, get that pen ready. So you just might want to jot down some notes as to what we are about to say unto you today. I promise you that you will be blessed. We have been talking about finance counseling, finance, how to be more productive, how to know that you are in the right frame of mind and dealing with your finance. So at this time, we're going to have Dr. June Normale. She's going to come and she's going to talk about the effects of financial problems. And we want to welcome Dr. June Normale to the Crossroads broadcast. Dr. Normale.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Praise the Lord, Radio Land. I give God all the honor for allowing me to come before you this day to give you words of nuggets straight from the throne of God. May God bless you. My topic is the effects of financial problems. The effects of financial problems. And financial stress is a sadly widespread experience. In other words, all over the world, the entire world, somebody is, will be, has been experienced financial stress in some form or fashion. According to a poll, roughly 7 in 10 respondents are very stressed about money, and only 1 in 10 reports that they are not stressed about finances. And the ratings of people of being stressed is only going up. This is pretty significant because, you know, financial stress is linked to health problems such as depression, sleep problems, and with the rising cost, gas and food, the mortgage crisis going up, the bank's trouble that we are experiencing, people are more in a rut and experience financial problems. But anxiety over money and negative thinking can affect health problems in a lot of ways. It will also affect children, all kinds of stuff. It could affect their unhealthy coping behaviors, such as it turns people to drinking. It causes people to smoke. It causes people to overeat when they don't have the finances and they don't use finances the appropriate way that it should be. And also having less money for self-care. A lot of times people don't get the care that they really need because of financial problems. They may not have insurance, and they may have limited insurance that just provide limited care. This say a person may be on fixed income and have a certain amount of income that will allow them to get minimal care and dental work. They may need to have maybe a whole new set of teeth put in their mouth. But because the insurance carrier has such limits on the limitations they were provided for them, they only may be able to provide just an extraction or either an examination. And that way the person is neglecting the self-care that they need until they get on poor health. And a lot of times, even the basic necessities of life. And a lot of times, it also could cause lost sleep. A lot of times, people can't even sleep at night. They don't get good night's sleep. They don't rest properly. And it causes them to have impaired cognitive abilities and functioning. They can't think right. They be on their jobs. They can't even perform the best that they can because of worrying about money and how it affects them. And a lot of times, like I said, even in their health, they're not being in good shape in the right health standard to be able to perform on a job that they are accounted to be done. And it causes, and that comes from the effects of financial problems. A lot of times it also can cause unhealthy emotions, such as credit card debt. We talked about that, getting in debt with the credit cards. It causes people to have emotions, unhealthy emotions that can create a toll on their health, such as poor coping skills. And in the arena, they can't cope the way that they should cope because of not having enough money or not using the money that it should cause them to do. And also self-neglect. And that's a lot of times, too, you will see a person, they may have carried themselves, their hygiene and their grooming may be, you know, upstandard and a right way of looking and smelling. You know, that person is, you know, up to the par. And then all of a sudden you may see them, the hair may not be combed and it may not be brushing the teeth and dressing the way that they normally do. A lot of times when you first see a person start being neglected in their grooming and they self-neglect or their personal way or the basic living, a lot of times that comes from financial problems. And a lot of times when people, they get the word about that, they don't know how to cope with different things. And they just let their self just go down and put a toll on their mind. They put a toll on their self-esteem. That just financial effects of having problems with your money and not able to handle and use your money the way you should use it. And not only does it cause health problems in adults, it also, you'd be surprised how it causes children's health to be affected when they have financial problems. Because just think about a child that's in school, children that's in school, and their parents are having financial problems. And the child can't understand why they may not be able to wear or either have the name brand clothes, the clothes that's in fashion, the style, and they see other children with that. And a lot of times because of that, children are picked on, they're being bullied because they have to wear hand-me-downs, they don't have the name brand clothes, and that causes children to be worried. It causes them not to be able to function in academically like they should because of their worried about people bothering with them, picking on them, and they're feeling sad. They're feeling ashamed. And that's all is the root problem of having to fix the financial problem. It goes all kind of ways in arena. It just don't just stop at because of the father or the mother not having the accurate amount of money or not providing right. It goes all the way down. It affects everybody around them, everybody in the whole household. And a lot of times, we talked about this last week about the effects of it and different things that cause the effects of money and the problem of money. Now we're talking about the effects of financial problems. Also, they're going to stand on that. And it said that worrying about money or how to pay bills, that's another arena that causes even your health problems, that cause problems in your body. And they say one national survey found that 70% of all worries concern money. Ain't that something? 100%, 70% of the people are worrying about money. And that's sad, but it's so true. It's because now a lot of times people don't got the respect at all for what money is used for, not using money correctly and having a love of money and causing money to be their God. And a lot of times, even back to the last time we talked about the effects of it, about people using money the wrong way and not being content in whatever the state they're in. And it can also cause family and marital problems that arise because of the increase or because of lack of financial pressures and arguments over inheritance. All those are things that come in about the fix of money problem. And talking about the family and marital problem, I was just talking with someone. They shared with me about how they had a certain amount of money. They were used to accustomed to a certain amount of money. And then when the money decreased, they didn't have what they used to have. They try to find other avenues to go back to that place where they had abundance of money. And they found themselves getting caught up in this system called the Internet Cafe. And she says the system that is set up, and what it does is it allows you to win. Anyway, it's another form of gambling. I must say that it's another form of gambling. And it is a system. It allows you to win so many big winnings until you get hooked on that. And then after you get hooked on it, you keep trying to get that same bonus of winning like you did before, but it never does happen. It almost like just trying to catch a ghost. You keep running behind something you'll never go. It's not even there. You're trying to get there, and it caused you to be hooked on it. And this person was so addicted to that, to it caused them, it affected their marriage, their family, because they got to the point that they weren't even paying bills like they should have paid bills for their household. They were just paying steady gambling, trying to get that big lump sum of money like they had got in the past time, but it didn't never happen again. It caused family problems and also inheritance. And a lot of times when someone in a family pass away, they leave money, inheritance, things, financial things. We're talking about money, financial things to someone in the family. And then if they don't have a will written out, even if they do have a will written out, it still sometimes causes problems because people are disappointed because they didn't get what they thought they was going to get, and they mad and upset because someone else got, and they think they shouldn't have got it. All those are effects of financial problems. It goes all the way back to that. And a lot of times people are just guilty and envy and jealous. They also have resentment. It can lead to pride, which is sinful. And each was called stimulated by financial issues. And it just caused all kind of different things that have come up and just destroy relationships and destroy the person itself. And it also caused emotional emptiness and unhappiness that comes to those who maintain life interest and accumulation of possession. And it's like a person where people think they like their life is consists of the bunch of things they have, and people get caught up in so many material things. There's nothing wrong with having material things. That's part of the package of the whole man that God desires us to have. But people get to a place and they allow to get things, more things, when they don't even have to have more things. They just want it because it's there. And a lot of times they want it because other people have it, and one thing leads to another. And then again, you find yourself having so many things, and you after you get what you're trying to get, you're still not satisfied. You're trying to go to one thing to another, and it's just like a revolving door. You go round and around. Once you get to that, okay, you're going to open another door, and you're going to this over and over and over. It seems like you never can find what you're looking for, and that's when we don't have our right perspective and not having our mindset in the right place on how to use financial gain and how to use money in its respective places. And also it's called spiritual deadness that follows when we get too concerned about money and having the wrong attitude or violating biblical principles for handling finances. And a lot of times I know everybody probably heard this statement. People always quote, if I just had more money, if I just had some more money, if I just would have had the money, I could have this, I could have that. And a lot of times people run with the scripture, and it's in Ecclesiastes 10:19, it says, A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry. But money answer all things. And they stick with that last one, see, but money answer all things. But I'm here to tell you today, money answer only what it's supposed to answer. Money don't answer all things. It answer only what it's supposed to answer for the things you need as far as trading, buying, giving things, paying your bills and everything. Because money does not answer the fate of your salvation, which only comes through the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior through the blood and the shedding blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the only thing. And Jesus Christ paid the price of that. Is no amount of money can cause you to have that, to receive that salvation. So money don't answer all things. And a lot of times when people say, if I had enough money, my marriage will work. No, your marriage is not going to work because if you have enough money. Your marriage is going to work if y'all know how to work together and cause y'all money to work for y'all marriage. That's when your marriage works. Your money is not going to cause you, say, if I marry him or her, if I'm going to marry him or her because they got enough money. And it's still not going to cause it to be healthy because if it so happens him or her don't keep that same amount of money, it's going to cause your marriage to disintegrate because your marriage was founded on a foundation is not solid, is not counted on what God called it to be. So that money does not answer everything. That is not if you had enough money. If I had enough money, I'll be healed. I get the best doctor. And sometimes while people experience certain sickness, certain illness, that they feel like if I got this money, I get the better care. And even though, like I said earlier, people don't get the kind of care they need or provided for them because of that the kind of money that they have or the less insurance that they have. But even though in that, God can still heal you, because the healing is in God. God, the healing is coming from God through the doctors. It's not all about your money, because God can heal you even in your state without no money. Without no money, God can still heal you. And then I say that to say this, because like I said, a lot of people feel like if I have this amount of money, I can get the best care, and that will cause me to get my healing. No, you can't. That is not going to cause you to get your healing. It will cause you to have maybe better care, or you be able to get more care than the normal person probably would be able to do. It depends on what status you in, but that is not going to cause the fate or your healing. That's not the sole answer. It all is in to God. Decide if you get your healing, but even if you don't, it's still God's will to be done in our lives. And we can't get caught up in thinking that because I got the money, I'm going to get healed. And a lot of times we see what's going on in the world today, but because of money, and because of the love of money, the Bible says because the love of money is the root of evil, and because of the love of money, and because of people who are more fortunate than us to have a lot of money, people do abuse, and people do misuse, and people put false settings and scenes before people that is not of God, and they make it seem as though they are prospering. But they are, and it could be very well prospering in this arena, in this time for right now, but at the end, it still might not even be of God, because a lot of times you have people in jobs and positions that not even qualified to be in a position. But because this person, some people pay their way through position. And then sometimes people have respect to a person. Sometimes people have more favor of a certain person than others because this person's status financially. They know this person got a lot of money. Oh, I'm going to show them more favor. I'm going to have them up there because I know what's in them is going to benefit me in the long run. But still, even in that, if you learn how to be content, so whatever state you're in, you could be well to the bottom. But I tell you, but God got a way to bring you right to the top where he calls you. Do God can open doors that no man can close them. If God closes the door, no man can open. Don't ever sell yourself short or belittle yourself because of the money you think you have or the money you think you don't have. If you learn how to be content in whatever state you're in, God will work it out for you. I'm going to leave you with this scripture. It's inside 1 Timothy 6:6-10, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. But we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, which is clothes, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in their destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That scripture all by itself already talked about the effects of financial problems. In other words, I added that to what I was just talking about. And we learn how to be content in whatever state we in and know how to use what we got for what God has given us. It'll cause you, I don't care if you make $100 a month. If you use your money the way God gave us biblical principles to use our money, even in tithe and offering, God will cause us to be able to prosper. It will cause your marriage to be able to work together and to be solid. We don't want to get into relationships. We don't want even marriages, even on with jobs, even with friends, people, associates, because of what they have, because of what they don't have. We want genuine. We want honest. We want true relationships, because that's how God designed us to be. And it's not founded, and the foundation is not health, and it's not a God when it comes just because of money and because of financial things. And sometimes there's a loss of friends because of money issues. If you want to talk about losing a friend, the best way you can do that, if you start dealing with them concerning money, is almost in the same category that it talks about not co-signing for a person. A lot of times, the Bible talks about this, I'm paraphrasing. If a person wants to borrow money from you, if you can't call, if you're going to loan somebody, anybody, some money, before you do, you count the cost within yourself and consider, count this to be a loss? Just in case you don't get it right, it won't hurt you. You won't let that hurt you. It won't affect your relationship with that person. Just in case you don't get it back. Because if you get it back, you're doing very well. Not saying that people won't pay back. But if you get it back, you're doing very well. Because even talking about even Christians, a lot of people have lost friendship because people loaning money and people will not pay back like they say they're going to pay back. If you can't call it to be a loss for your loan to, don't even lend it to them if you don't call it to be a loss. Because if they give it back to you, like they said it was, you're doing very good. And it causes a lot of friendship, and it builds up tension. And a lot of times, people cause false relationships in communication. And a lot of times, people don't accept people for who they are and what they have. They want to use people for what they got. If you know, they just want to butt up to you and stuff and things like that because of financial gain, because of that. And then you find a lot of people that could be isolated. They could be mistreated because not even being financially on a status that is appropriate for somebody else. They'll look. Some people look people down and say, "Oh, they're not in the category I am. Look how they dress. Look where they work at. Look what kind of car they got." But we know as Christians, we know in the body of Christ, that's not how God designed for it to be, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. But I'm bringing all this up because that's what is happening today in this world we're living in. You know, we're living in the last days, and that is some of the effects that brings on financial problems. And you'll be surprised even now how you, a lot of times, have people have degraded themselves, and people have went back to lifestyles that's not pleasing to God, things they are doing and compromising situations because of financial problems and stuff, stealing, lying, cheating, whoremongering, all because of the effects of financial problems. But, and it's all right to have money. They say money is our friends, but then they say a fool and the money will soon depart. And money will come just like in having wings, they'll fly away from you. But money is good to have. God gave us money on this earth. We need money to survive, but we got to keep money in its respected place. It's all right to have money, but don't let money have you. That makes all the difference. And like I said, it also causes health problems. And at times, financial problems put us under stress. Sometime or another, sometimes we may have came to the crunch part that you wonder how we're going to have this, how we're going to pay this bill, the bill collector calling, you know, they want to repossess my car, they want to put foreclosure on my house. Whatever state, whatever situation you may be in, God will make a way. And I'll tell you, a lot of times, that don't mean because we're serving God that you may not even experience hardship sometime or another in financial time. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say because you be faithful paying the tithe and offering that you're not going to experience financial stress and a financial problem. Yes, you will probably sometime may experience that. And if you don't, to God be the glory. And if you do, we praise God in advance before we get here while we're going through it. And after we come out, because God promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And a lot of times, money calls financial problem, the effects of it. It causes people, because they don't have enough money to them, or they don't have less, unless they have too much less of the money, and it causes problems. But we just have to just trust God in all our situations. And a lot of times, even it causes people to be jealous of others. It causes people even to feel guilty because they have financial standards that are higher than others, and they'll let people make them feel guilty. They'll feel guilty because they don't have it. Then a lot of times, people get jealous of others that does have financial wealth, and people get jealous of them, and that's not right. It causes jealousy to get in our heart because of that. And then a lot of times people have to experience resentment, because a lot of times, because even if you do have a lot of money and financial gain and stuff, sometimes it causes health problems and people being resented. A lot of times people, they be just, they don't accept you for who you are. They think, a lot of times people may try to think they more than who they are and where they come from, better than anybody else. And a lot of times money could cause, financial problem could cause people, pride could come on with a person. They could just, you know, thinking things within themselves and thinking because of what they have is who they really are. But it's not that what you possess on the outside, but what's really just coming from within you, from the inside, out of your heart, out of your mouth. People watch all of that, and that's what caused you the way you live, the way your lifestyle is. And God just wants you to just continue to just trust him. Just trust him in everything you do concerning money and things, because it causes people to drink, smoke, overeat, you know, not take care of themselves, not getting the right care that they need, and can't think, can't function right, and everything causes things with the children. And we just have to just trust God for all we do and thank God for him. And I pray that something that I said has put a light on into your mind and your heart. You see things in different perspectives. And may God bless you. Till we meet again, God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
I'd like to thank Dr. Normia for giving us the effects of financial counseling, because there are many things that happen, one, to those that have not really sat down and count the cost as to what they have and what they do not have. Sometimes we miss it because of the fact that we don't educate ourselves. We don't we live above our means. So many things that Dr. Normia had brought out today on the effects of finance, that we wish that we could really go in and reiterate some things to you and for you on today. But what we're going to do is if we have time today, our next speaker, that we will go back and we will talk about a few things that we allow to discuss today, because we want you to be able to know that you can make it, and that you can be prosperous, and you can be blessed, but you need to know how to be all of those things. Now, we're getting ready. We just talked about the effects of financial problems. We're getting ready to hear from Dr. James Williams. He's going to be talking about preventing financial problems and the conclusion about financial problems. I would like you to welcome Dr. Pastor James Williams to the Crossroad broadcast. Dr. Williams.
Dr. Normil, in her exaltation of the problems that we're facing, one of the things that we as believers must do, and I want to start out by coming from the King James Version, Psalm 37 and 5, and it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." We have a commitment to our God to commit all things to him. And in committing all things to him, we have to commit our finances to him. There's a reason why oftentimes our Lord does not give us more than what we can handle, and that is because he realizes that some things we just cannot handle. One of the things that we do so oftentimes is we mistake biblical explanations of what money is and what finances can do for us. But one must all, in preventing financial problems, one must acknowledge. One of the things in coming to salvation is the fact that we must acknowledge that God is Lord. And certainly in our finances, we have to acknowledge him as the provider for us to receive our finances. And once we come to that knowledge, a lot of things, a lot of possessions that we desire come from a couple of things, which one is covetousness. We want something because someone else has it. And it's not because we need it. It is actually greed. And the Bible is very explicit about greed. We should not covet what someone else has. I think Dr. Normiel spoke on one vein, and that is the fact that we should be content with what God has given us. Now, in the other points that we want to make here, we want to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you cannot fulfill the goals of God. If we would sit down and take what we bring in and disperse it according to our needs, according to our children's need. And the other part of that a lot of persons, I hope all of the listeners are already doing this, but we must tithe. If God cannot trust us with what he has given us, then how can he trust us to have more? One of the things that we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a plan to help our listeners make sure that we use our resources to the best of their ability. And then we have to make sure that we are planning for our future. Well, someone may say, well, how can I plan for my future when I don't even know what the end of the day is going to be? And the next person may say, well, I thought I was only supposed to plan for today. Well, I think Solomon addressed that in a very positive way. He told us to consider the ant. The ant was industrious, and the ant was preparing for the next day. And so we have to look at all of these things to help us get to a point where we can be comfortable, if I may say it that way, if we may be able to provide and to help others. And that's another area that I really want to talk about is the fact that some of our resources is not just for us to hoard. We are responsible when God gives us a blessing. We are responsible for helping others to achieve their maximum potential. For example, and this is just my thought, but the church, from biblical perspectives, has always been, and I don't like this term, but I'm going to use it, it has been the welfare system. There are some things in our biblical teaching that tell us that when a stranger come, the widower and the fatherless, that there were provisions made for these individuals. We must adhere to biblical principles throughout the time of our Lord, and especially if we're going to be advantageous in making our God exalted, we must follow all of the biblical principles. I'm going to talk for just a few more minutes about a plan that is called the 10, 70, and 20 plan for budgeting. Oftentimes, it has five concepts. The first of those concepts are 10% of your gross, which is your tithe. Many people would like to give from the net after everything has been done. But if we really follow biblical principles, we have to give from the gross. Well, if I am God, and I'm not, let me clarify that, and I gave you a good job, or I gave you any job, and the results of that, I ask you to only give me 10% of the gross, and you gave me less than that, and you had 90% to work with, I don't think I would be very pleased. And I don't think any of the listeners would be very pleased if someone wanted to take a portion of what was given to them freely. The second part of that would be, we already know that, may I say, Uncle Sam or our federal government is going to get theirs. So we have to plan in our budget or our goal for taxes and some of our fixed expenses, which would be things such as we know we need somewhere to live. We know that we're going to need lights. We know that we're going to need food to make it to our job the next day. We know that we're going to need gas funding. We know all of these things that we must have in order to be successful. And once we have deducted those two, and we've still got three to go now, once we have deducted those two expenses, now we have what is termed working income. Now, I don't know if any of the listeners were looking at some of the morning news programs today, but there is a great awareness of attempting to save money. Our country has not done that very well, but we as the faithful of God, we need to learn how to save. And I would say my mother used to always say it in this fashion, we need to save for a rainy day. No matter how well your new car may be, no matter how well the washer and dryer has been running, different things of that nature, at some point those things are going to break down. And if we have a little nest egg put aside somewhere, we can do a whole lot better. And then our fourth component of that, we should have about 70% of our working income for living expenses. And then 20%, and I know that this is going to blow some of our listeners' minds, but we really should only have about 20% of our income disposed to debt. And I think it's probably between 70 and 90% of some of our is debt, versus we should have more for living expenses. And I think it's a change in our mindset. And if I may, I would call our attention to Paul said that we should be renewed. We should not be still acting as if we were not saved. We should have a whole total new mindset to be able to live comfortably and, again, trust in our God for what he has already provided for us. We will become more responsible to the things of God when we do not desire earthly things. One of the thoughts that we want to share with your listeners today, and that is the fact that when we look at commercials, the commercial is geared to making you desire to do something that you may not even desire to do. Perhaps it would be a good thought to spend more time in the Word of God, finding out how God desires that we live and how we spend our funding, than to just be riotous in our living. And I think those plans will help us to be more preventive in our financial problems. Brothers and sisters, we have, as we conclude, to be preventive in our financial problems, it is not to invest just in ourselves, but we have to teach our children how to save money. Not only our children, but according to the Old Testament, it says, teach your children and your children's children. So that way we will be looking at 3 to 4 generations. And if we look at some of the landmarks of the historical Jewish nations, the Jews oftentimes have made preparations for generations that have not even come into this world because they are using preventive financial measures to make sure that when that generation comes, it is prepared for financially so that they can enjoy the life that God has desired that we have. Dr. McCoy, we're going to turn it back over to you. As Dr. Normil said, we pray that we have said something that will encourage the people of God to not just spend, and to begin to save for those that have not come into this world as of yet.
We would like to thank Dr. Williams for blessing us tremendously, for giving us insight and revelation on what we should do as being people of God, as also people that are not yet saved. You may say, well, you know, you may be talking to Christians. Well, we're not just talking to Christians. We are talking to you so that you as well, so that you'll know how to save, how to be prosperous, and how to be more bountifully blessed. You know, there are many times that we don't use wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and because of the fact that we don't use it, then we find ourselves outside of the will of God, or we find ourselves almost on the street because of the fact we are not acknowledging God, number one, because the Word of God says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he said that he will direct our path. So we need to learn how to acknowledge God and to allow God to direct our path. Well, you may say, Dr. McCoy, how am I going to do all of this? Well, we had Dr. Normil come, and she sowed many seeds. We had Dr. Williams came, and plus he sowed many more seeds. And hear what I'm saying to you today, that except we have of Christ as our foundation for living, I believe that Dr. Williams was saying about our tithe and our offering, that it is a must that we, if we want to prosper, we need to be able and should give that 10% that God has instructed his people, those that want to be prosperous, those that want to be obedient, those that want to be able, in order to bless God, bless his people, because I believe that it would say that we're not just to really to try to bless ourselves, and we're not trying to get it all for ourselves, but we need to be able to help others as well. When we can have the mind of Christ on everything that we do, I believe that God will bless us more than we can ever imagine. There are certain things that God expect for his people in order to do and things that we should do if we want to be prosperous in this life. The Bible says many things about money, finance, about our possession, about the management of finance. Only thing that many times we don't profit is because we're not obedient, because we wanted to do it. Sometimes people want to do things their own way. We talked about earlier, sometime when we first began to talk about finance, we talked about a young man that was found himself $8,000 in debt. And because of the fact he did not have a job, but he was doing a lot of spending. He was doing a lot of things that would cause him to not to prosper. Many times I think that especially young people, when they go to college, you know, there's many things that are offered to them, many credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, you name it, they offer it to the young people that is in college, those people that are expecting to get an education, those people that are expecting to go somewhere in life. Many of them have student loans already. They're there, and because they're there, instead of them being taught and to be able to be wise in their uses of funds, you then they find themselves getting more and more into debt. And that's what happened to the young man that we used as an illustration of the other week. So therefore, you have to know your limits. You need a guide. Dr. Williams have already given you a guide as to what you need to do in order to be successful. Dr. Normiel have already taught to you what you need to do to be a successful. The scripture itself is a guideline for us so that we can be able to be prosperous and that so we can be able to please God. Money and possession must be built realistically. Sometimes we're not realistic about money. We take money for granted, you know, and that's why many people need to be educated in that area. And sometimes people say, well, I have the money, it's my money, I'm going to do what I want with it. But then the end of it is that many people are in trouble because they don't have what they need. They're not counting the cost. One of the parables that Jesus described, a man whose life had been spent in the accumulation of his wealth. And the man, he had died. He was unprepared to meet Christ. He was unprepared even to die because he thought that all he had at that time was money. Money is not everything, as Dr. Normiel said. We thank God for the use. We thank God that we can use it for an exchange. We thank God that we'll be able to help someone. But it's not everything. It is in order to upbuilding for the upbuilding of the kingdom and for tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. This particular man who died and left all his precious belongings, all the monies that he had, he left it and he didn't share it. He didn't give it to others in order to help them. But the Bible more or less called this man a fool. He was rich in worldly wealth, but poor in his relationship with God. And that's what we want you to know today. That your relationship with Jesus Christ is far more important to the riches of this world. What is it to gain the world and to lose your own soul? There has to be a means wherein that you can know that you are doing things that's going to please God and that things that's going to bring to a better end in your life. Many people still live lives dominated by the love of money. How many people do you know that love money more than they love life? Love money more than they love people. Love money more than they love anything. So here we see a story about a man, and we shared this story some weeks ago, and these men, with several men, all of them met. They was businessmen. They left. They met in 1921. A group of them, most of them was, and all of them, I may say, was very successful. They was on Wall Street. They was president of the New York Stock Exchange. They was they were bankers of international settlement and large steel companies in the United States, and they had large utility companies and the large gas companies in the world. But it tells us, and we just don't have time to let you know what happened to these men. They, a few of them, which was three of them, had committed suicide. Three of them had been in prison, and one had gone insane, and two died in bankruptcy. All had been ruined by the Great Depression of the 1930s. At a time when millions of common people tightened their budget, and that's how, you know, a lot of people that have gone through different situations in their life, and I'm bringing it to the end, they more so know how to tighten their budget, knowing how to not live over their means of what they cannot afford. But these men, they all they had in their eyesight and in their heart was the money. That's all they could count on. They wasn't thinking about God. They wasn't thinking about their relationship to other people, but all that they had. And they found themselves in prison, taking their own lives. They were selfish men because they didn't think about somebody else. But I want you to know today, and I don't have the time to actually to go through some of the things that I want to go through and mention to you today, but you must know that everything that you have belongs to God. And if you give God your best, not what you just think is your best, because we're not living according to our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith. We're living according to what thus says the word of God. So as Christian counselors, we can all agree together with you, our radio audience, that we must put God first and that we must acknowledge him. And if we acknowledge him through his word, through our prayer, then we're going to be more successful than the men that we just talked about. So we want to go before the Lord God right now, and we want to pray for you that God will give you a stroke more spiritually insight of your life and what he have you to do, and also for your salvation. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise thy name. We thank you for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. Lord, we pray, God, for the radio broadcast on today. We thank you, God, for letting us address, God, I give up finance counseling. And God, we thank you because, Lord, you know what your people are in need of this day and this hour. God, we pray, God, even now, that even after the broadcast, God, that the word of wisdom that was spoken to them on today, God, that they would take it as that seed, they would plant it, God, that it would grow, and God, that they'll be able to prosper. Lord, even as I pray, God, if there are any out there, and I know it is that are not saved, I pray, God, that they will give their lives unto you. God, you said, Father God, if we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him up the dead and said that we can be saved. So, Lord, I pray, God, even now, that souls will be saved from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. Lord God, that they will give their lives to you and that they will commit themselves to you as you being their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray, God, even now, that if there is any sick that are listening to this broadcast, God, we send the word of healing, God, to them in the name of Jesus. We realize, God, that you paid the price 2,000 years ago for their healing and for their deliverance. Father, I pray, Father God, for those that have headaches, God, those that have leukemia, those with bipolar disease, God, those with schizophrenia, God, those, God, that have the infirmity in their blood. Father God, I pray, God, for that junkie. I pray, God, for that the street walker, Lord God. I pray that you'll move on their behalf. And God, that their lives, God, will not be the same. And Father, for this, I will bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We would like to thank you for once again tuning in to the Crossroad broadcast. We thank God for having Dr. June Normia, Dr. James Williams, and, of course, your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please join us on next Monday at the same time. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend to join us as we again embrace you with counseling today, what God will have you to know. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.